Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word this morning. Today we're going to talk about being powerful, and I wrote that in my notes as power-full. You know, God has been downloading all these full messages into me, being faithful, full of faith, being powerful, being peaceful. When you think about all of those wonderful things that God gives us, we can be full of them. And I don't know about you, but I need to be full of power today. So we have got some great scriptures we're going to travel through together. Let's say a word of prayer. God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and learn of you, Lord God. We thank you that you provide every need that is presented to you from every person that is hearing the sound of my voice. God, give us supernatural strength and energy today. Give us clarity of mind and give us a purposeful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, it is an exciting time at Isaiah 30:18 Ministries. Just got to tell you, we've got a February 23rd conference at the State House Convention Center coming, and it's going to be amazing. It's about releasing the past and moving into the future. And then we have a new Dream Launchers Conference. I'm sorry, that's February 2nd. February 23rd is a new Dream Launchers Conference at the State House Convention Center. So you'll be hearing more about those things. And this weekend, I'm speaking at the Sing Conference, Sounds Inspiring Nurturing Goals. And so I am just a featured speaker at this conference with Brenda Hinton Price, and I know it's going to be an amazing weekend. And I'm going to be talking this weekend about what would you do if you knew you could not fail. And so I'm going to also let you guys know in advance that next week I've already got my topics for Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday is Dressed for Battle. What do you do when you're in the middle of a battle? Wednesday is Count It All Joy, and Friday will be What Would You Do If You Knew You Could Not Fail. So mark those times on your calendar and plan on powering up with me next week. Today I want to kick off by talking about the things that make us powerful. First of all, Acts 1:8 talks about the Holy Spirit, and God's Word says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all the earth." When we receive Christ, we also have access to His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually a person. It's a person. It's one of the persons of the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell on the inside of us. We can gain insight and discernment on things that were once baffling and confusing to us when we call upon the Holy Spirit. So that is available to every believer, but not every believer believes that. So if you don't believe something's available to you, it doesn't do you any good, even if it's sitting there waiting and hanging right over your head. If you don't believe it and then receive it and take it into your life, it is of no effect. So I believe that's one reason so many Christians are walking around saying they're Christians, but without the power and evidence of being a Christian, being able to overcome, being able to stand firm. And I know many, many times in my life when I've been in the middle of a trial, you know, I've tried to do things in my own strength. I've tried to figure it out myself. You know, it's so funny. We say these things. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I guess all we can do now is pray. I've tried everything else. So I guess now all I can do is pray." And I've said that before in the past. And so one day God quickened my spirit and He said, the first thing we do is pray and ask God to give us the wisdom and the discernment of what He wants us to do in every situation. So that's been a very powerful way, a new way that I've learned to live my life in the last few years. So being powerful means receiving the Holy Spirit so that we receive that Spirit of God on the inside of us that gives us the wisdom to know what to do in the situations that come and gives us the wisdom to know what to say when we need to have the right words to say. I want us to read 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is another great power scripture. And it, he says in this scripture, but he said to me, and the he meaning Jesus slash God, my grace is enough for you. My strength and my power are made perfect and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Now, I think that's interesting that God says, number one, his grace, or his favor, his loving kindness and mercy is enough for us. And I love the word grace because grace is undeserved and unmerited favor. Just simply because we've accepted Christ, we can receive his grace. And he says it's enough for us. And then in the Amplified Bible, it says it's sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble that you're in manfully. So when you're in trouble, he says his grace is sufficient for us to be able to enable us in the middle of our trials. And then he says, for my strength and power are made perfect in your weakness. So when we are weak, he shows forth his power. And I really believe because he wants to get the credit. He wants to get the glory for the things that happen in our lives, that overcoming faith that we might testify to other people of God's provision and God's goodness. I know several times in the last year, God did things that only God could do. It couldn't have been anything that I made happen. And that way, you know, it's such a great testimony to share that with people, maybe people that don't believe, or maybe people that are Christians, but their faith has become weak. And then he says that the power of Christ, and in my Bible, the Amplified, it says that the strength and power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, in the Amplified, the word rest, I thought this was so cool. It says in parentheses, yes, it may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So he is simply saying this. His grace is the key to the power. Accepting and receiving his grace as enough that his strength and power is made perfect in my weakness so that I might glory in him. So then you simply say, you know what, I may be feeling weak today in my own power and strength, but I don't have to rely on that. I rely on the grace of God and his power and his strength that has pitched a tent over me. I love that. It has pitched a tent over you. And when you're inside of a tent, you're enveloped, you're enclosed. It's a protection over you. So that is one of my favorite scriptures, that he has pitched that tent of power and of strength over me. And then I want to move on to just to verse 10, and it says, for the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased, and I take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, distresses, for when I am weak, then I am strong and walking in his powerful divine strength. So grab hold of that today, you know, with whatever's going on in your life, that you can absolutely rest in the knowledge that his strength is at work in you and his power is available. Mm-hmm. But it's just like I was saying in the last message about unwrapping the gifts. Something can be available to you. You know, I was using an analogy of all the gifts that God gives us. And the other morning when I was praying about the message that I was going to teach Wednesday night, I saw this mountain of beautifully wrapped presents, gorgeous wrappings and big bows, and they were shiny and beautiful. And God began to show me in his word all these gifts that he's given to us because he's our Heavenly Father, our Abba. Abba meaning Daddy God. He's our Daddy. And so he's this Daddy that has gone out and he has gotten all of these gifts. He's appropriated all of these gifts for us. And they're piled up waiting for us just to run over, grab them, unwrap them, and receive them. Can you imagine being a father on Christmas morning and you have, or a mother, and you've bought these amazing gifts for your child, and your child never comes to the tree and never picks up the gifts? Or maybe they come to the tree and pick up the gift, but they never unwrap it. They just hold it. And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat going, come on, honey, open that up. Open that. Mama spent good money on that. Daddy wants you to have that. But that child just sits there holding that gift unwrapped. Or perhaps they unwrap the gift and then toss it aside. And we've seen that on Christmas morning, haven't we? When a child opens up a gift and they're waiting for maybe another gift that they were hoping for, and so the one they just opened wasn't the one they were really excited about and hoping for, and so they throw it to the side and go and open another one. And God just really gave me this amazing analogy of how he is just like us, in that we want to give these amazing gifts to our children. And we, the biggest thing we want and we're looking for, I believe, is that expression on their face and that moment when they look at that gift and they look at us and they say, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Oh, it's just what I wanted. I love it. And that God is the same way. And he says, my power is available to you. My strength is available to you. My wisdom is available to you. I'm just waiting for you to run over to the tree, open it up, unwrap it, and I want you to just look to me and say, thank you, God, that you've given this to me. Oh. I'm telling you, this is one of the neatest and most exciting analogies, is sitting and picturing God as my heavenly daddy with these gifts. He's just saying, Dana, please unwrap that one. You're going to need that one today. You need that today. He knows what's coming. He knows what we're getting ready to walk through. He knows everything that's going to be unfolding in 2013, and he knows every gift that we're going to have. And so he's already purchased that gift through his son, Jesus Christ. It's already available to us as Christians. Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man or woman is strong, and a man or woman of knowledge increases in power. And so one of the gifts that God has given us is this gift of knowledge, this gift of discernment. And it's through his word, through staying in God's word, that we receive divine revelation and we receive knowledge. You know, rarely does God just zap us through osmosis and say, okay, here, I'm just going to zap you with this. But when we're seeking him, we're reading his word, we're digging in, and we're saying, okay, God, I want to know more of you. I want to know more about you. I want to see my circumstances from your perspective. Then God says, okay, we can do that. And he increases our knowledge. And then many times you do get a divine revelation that just comes in the middle of the night. Or, you know, when a living Isaiah 30:18 came in the middle of the night, I had literally been on my face for weeks crying out to God and seeking God about a situation in my life and really for clear direction for my future. And he gave me this book in the middle of the night. But I don't think the book would have come had I not been seeking him and seeking his face. So many times we're only seeking the gifts or what God can give us. But truly, he wants us to seek him, and then the gifts come from that seeking. Yeah. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7 and 8. It says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or craven and cringing and fawning fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind. And then this is a biggie, and discipline and self-control. So he's given us his spirit of bravery. He's given us his spirit of power. He's given us his spirit of love. He's given us his spirit of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. You know what? Discipline and self-control, here's the thing. You don't always feel like doing the right thing. That's for sure. Your flesh, I'm just telling you, and you know this, your flesh is going to many times want to rebel and do the opposite of what you know is the right thing to do. And so, and you know, sometimes we go ahead and make the decisions to do that. Thank God he is merciful. But God says that he's given us not a spirit of timidity or shyness or fear, but of power, love, and a calm and well-balanced mind. When I teach tomorrow at Sing on what would you do if you could not fail, it is about the faith and the power of stepping out into the unknown even when you cannot see where you're going. See, many times people don't step out and do what God's calling them to do because they're waiting for everything to be perfect. They're waiting for the world to change. They're waiting for them to get their act together. Everybody, you know, wants, they think things have to line up and be a certain way. But God called Paul on the road to Damascus while Paul was murdering Christians. I mean, he plucks people out of their ordinary lives and puts them on this mission. And if we had to wait until we had it all figured out and all sewn up, we would all be waiting. All of us, 100%, would be waiting. And then he says in verse 8, don't be ashamed to testify about me and do it in the power of God. Yes. Don't be afraid to testify about me. Don't be afraid to talk to unbelievers about me.
Yes.
And the other night at my show, that very thing happened. I had a group of girls, and they were drinking, and they were talking about partying, and they were so pretty and young and beautiful. And it grieved my heart. I mean, just listening to them just, and then I began to tell them about what God had done in my life, and it was amazing what happened that night. One of them had lost her mother very young, and her mother had been a Christian, and I think she didn't understand why. But God really, he tells us to be bold, not in a condemning way. I wasn't condemning them. I wasn't condemning them for what they were doing, but I could see because of the discernment God had given me that they were in pain.
Yeah.
You see, that's why they were doing the things they were doing. They were trying to mask over the hurt and mask the pain of what had happened.
Yes.
And God says he has come to set the captives free, and he will take our pain, and he will take our mess, and he will create something beautiful from it. So by the end of the night, they were smiling, they were hugging me, they were, you know, they all got a book. You know, I take my book with me just in case, you know, there's a moment when I know that it needs to be given. And so God is so amazing. He opens up opportunities for us to share his love and his goodness with others. And it's simply because when we open up the gift, we can give the gift away. Once we've opened up the gift, we can share that gift. But every gift we have not opened for whatever reason is a gift that we cannot share with someone else because it really isn't about us. It's about other people through us.
Yes.
The last power full that I want to talk about this morning is in Romans 1 and 6. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It wasn't until I started reading the Bible and really reading the Bible that the power of God began to really unfold in my life. The word of God is power. It it contains the power. It is the power. And I really believe that is why sometimes it is the hardest thing in the world to do is to stop and stand still long enough to read. Because we're so busy doing. We're so busy doing the next thing, doing the next conference, doing the next speaking engagement. We've got to be in the Word, guys, because the Word of God is where the power is.
Yes.
So I really do believe the enemy will do everything he can to distract us, to keep us out of the Word, to get us too busy, to where we think we just don't have time to sit still. And God says, you're completely missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
Your directions, your instructions are in the book.
Yes.
So here we go, getting dressed every morning, putting on our clothes and our makeup and doing our hair and going out into the world, but yet we're not fully clothed. We're not fully dressed because the Word is our instructions for the day. The Word is our guidebook. And when you get into God's Word, he's going to give you specific instructions for that day, something you're going to need to know, something you're going to need to share with someone else. I promise you it is the power. Before you walk out the door in the morning, plug into him. Tune into what he wants to speak to you that day. And then go out there. It's called plug in. Are you plugged in? Are you turned on? And are you tuned in to hear his voice? My sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger. They will not follow.
Yes.
So we're going to get dressed spiritually every morning. And Monday, we are going to talk about how to get dressed. It's going to be an awesome, awesome power up coffee in the Word on Monday. How do we get dressed every day as we're preparing to move out into the world? God's mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. And so mornings are very special because mornings signify new beginnings. And so we have to know how to get dressed to go out into the world for that new beginning that is each and every day. He has a pile of gifts under the tree waiting for you, waiting for me to simply go over, pick them up, unwrap them, rip off the bow, open up the box, and receive them, and then use the gifts that He has given us. It's all about living life with power, with passion, and with purpose. So go out there today and make it a powerful, F-U-L-L, day.
Yes. Yep.